Welcome to another edition of Community Tides, coming to you during the noon hour on alternate Fridays with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation. Welcome, Siobhan.
Thank you, Chris. Great to be with you again.
We talk about new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal as we move deeply into another historic year. 2021 brings us toward the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, and it also brings with it a wealth of experience and reflection. Our community and the world community have had to make some innovatively practical and creative pivots as we look toward a changed future. Who better to talk about that on the local level in the artistic and educational realm is Teresa Vérez, a visionary who has contributed her talents greatly to this community. In her career, she has counseled and connected hundreds of businesses and organizations, served in leadership roles in dozens of boards and committees, including the EDC Team Jefferson, Olympic Peninsula Tourism Council, and Jefferson Community Foundation, as well as director of the Jefferson County Chamber of Commerce. She's the founding director of the Port Townsend School of the Arts, and it's in that role that she joins us today to talk about exciting happenings in the arts and the educational community, including the recent merger with Northwind Arts. Welcome, Teresa.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here today.
There's a lot of history here that sort of leads up to what you're going to explain, and that's the merger of Northwind Arts with the Port Townsend School of the Arts. Why don't you tell us about that and how all of this evolved? Let's start with the Port Townsend School of the Arts.
Sure. Well, Port Townsend School of the Arts is now Northwind Art, along with Northwind Arts Center. The merger is really exciting and so grounding for our arts community. So just to back up a little bit, I'm looking at the bottom of my computer and it's 3/18/2021 today. And it was a year ago on 3/17/2020 that we closed our doors to PTSA and all of us actually really with the mandate to stay home and stay safe. So it was really about 48 hours of a little freak out. Like, what do we do? What do we do now? And how long will this last? And I mean, who knew it'd be a year, but I will say that there were some really key people, including Siobhan Canty, a little bird on my shoulder that basically said, you know, keep going. Art is going to be critical in this time. We need it more now than ever. And boy, we didn't know how deep it would get, but it was really early on that our board committed to keeping our team afloat. We did not shutter for a day. We got right up and out. We started our Postcards from Home project, where we had over 352 postcards streaming through our doors with the call to action to talk about these times on a 3x5 card and put it in the mail. We made a book out of it. We started online classes like right away. And it was 2 months in, actually, that Thea Mers from Northwind Arts Center approached Carrie Tremaine, who's our fantastic board chair, was then and is again now, approached him and just said, look, we're in a tight spot, cash flow-wise and just our business. This is going to be really hard on us. And we've collaborated before in the past. Why don't we do it in the future? And that's really solidly where it landed. I mean, for both Michael D'Alessandro and I, it was a no-brainer. Bring in the rest of the boards along, not a problem. And so the discussions began, and here we are. Here we are today. And that was 7 months ago. Fast. We moved fast.
That's an incredible story, for especially a time of pandemic when so many people just stopped and you all really like put your foot on the gas and really made the most of a difficult situation. And as you and I have talked about, Teresa, art is so much more than the pieces of art created. It's really about the viewer, about the creation process. Can you just say a little bit about the importance of art in the time of pandemic?
Well, I will say the 3 years that I was the founding director of Port Townsend School of the Arts, I had the opportunity to walk in to our classroom space and watch what was unfolding and happening, watch people come out of their shells, watch them look at things so differently, really challenge themselves. I mean, experience great vulnerability and also like great triumph, just getting that face just right or that acrylic pour just right. I know how healing and powerful this the world of art is, mostly through that experience, but you know, really also my own. We all have a creator kind of inside of us. Yeah, I just love being a part of continuing to help foster that on so many different levels.
Interestingly, in my past, I've done a lot of studying of the skills of change makers and what makes someone an excellent change maker in their community. And we found that the sense of self-permission to speak up is a key component of that. And one of the only places that young people learn how to do that is in art classes.
Yeah.
Turns out art is fundamental to a healthy democracy.
Yes, that's just a big capital Y-E-S.
Isn't that the truth? Where else do you access the creative side of your mind in an environment? I think many of us grew up in a traditional learning environment where there was no room for that kind of thing. There wasn't any room for, if you're drawing something that looks untraditional, then your teacher walked by and said, well, that's not very good. That should be another way, you know, but why should it be? And I think that that's really important for a rounded individual, is to allow that creative side to peek out.
You know, I want to speak to that really quick, because it's so fascinating to me. You know, we think about art and we think about, well, I think about healing and recovery and that journey of well-being. And oftentimes we think and we just go right to kids, right? But one of the things I've learned in this experience with Port Townsend School of Arts, now Northwind Art, is that adults, actually, my experience, about 2 out of 5 share a story with me of their first art experience, and it's not positive. It's like, have you heard the saying, I can't even draw a stick figure? Well, who cares? You know, whoever gave you an F in art? And believe it or not, many. It's not okay. So one of the things that we actually have done with our work is we are rehabilitating adults. You get a shot too. I mean, Chris, come on. Like, this is really about you. This is about all of us, our health and well-being, and children are critical and important. Our community, that maybe they don't have access, but you, like, I want to get art into your hands too, because it's really, really important in the way that we see the world. And I feel like we have a lot of healing to do, that 2 out of 5 around the arts.
Well, another way of looking at it is that we're sort of rehabilitating the child in all of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, sometimes when I get real frustrated with folks, you know, just watching the weirdness in the world, I'll look at them and I'll just imagine them as a 4-year-old. And I think sometimes it gives me the grace and patience to just get through whatever we need to get through.
One of the reasons that we all love Port Townsend and Jefferson County is because we do see ourselves as a community that supports artists, but we're really seeing, you know, it's becoming harder and harder for artists to live here. With housing costs and low wages and jobs, things like that. I'm curious what Northwind Art and what we as a community can do into the future to ensure that we remain an artist's home.
It's such a good question. I'm glad you asked. I have a lot to say about this, and I'll keep it as succinct as possible. I worked at the Chamber of Commerce for 8 years. I actually am from here and moved back, and so grateful to have had this really deep, rich work to do in our community for the last 13 years. But I was the director of the Chamber of Commerce for 8 years. And one of the things that we talked about a lot was, you know, economic development, of course, and what are those economic drivers? And it always kind of surprised me, because I have an artist's heart and I respect artists so much, and they drive who we are. I mean, Chris, why are you here? Siobhan, why are you here? Why am I here? Well, arts and culture, hello. So it always kind of surprised me that in that, you know, lineup of economic drivers, arts and culture wasn't right there. I mean, it's kind of like the icing on the cake, but, you know, tourism was more important. I feel like when I look at the lists of the number and the number of artists that are here, there are thousands. I mean, I would say like a very high, high percentage. And one of the things that I really saw going into the pandemic, now with kind of the light at the end of the tunnel, artists have been hit really hard. And one of the things that we want to do, well, our plan is 3 pillars, a pillar of education, a pillar of exhibition, and a pillar of artist support. I have heard from many, many artists that they need help getting their work out to the world, building websites, consultation, how to write a bio, how to frame their work properly, and also just simply being listened to telling their stories. That's what Northwind Art will have the ability to do. We're investing heavily in software and a website that actually can do just that. We'll have a really robust and high value, but low dollar membership program where artists that will support this, that artists can opt into and get the support that they need. So kind of long story short, but there are many levels of our plan around this. And soon enough, within the next 4 to 6 months, once we've stabilized a little bit, we will be reaching out to artists to get direct feedback about exactly what they need.
There would be lessons from the pandemic because we've learned a lot of things in reflection about that, right? How to make a living in extraordinary circumstances, for example, and how that's going to translate as we move forward. A lot of positive things that have come about, providing musicians and artists are able to acquire those skills and use them in their art.
Lots of opportunities and lots of hardship too. I mean, I think we have to acknowledge both and be really realistic about what's possible and what's needed. So that's something that we are gearing up and setting ourselves up to do and do well.
Tracy, you mentioned exhibition. How many spaces does Northwind Art have now? And are they open? Can the public interact with Northwind Art right now? Are there events coming up? What's happening? How can we
navigate? One of the best ways to find out, just beyond walking downtown and going to the Best Gallery, which is at 701 Water Street, and the Grover Gallery across from the Rose Theater at 236 Taylor Street. Those are our two galleries. One of the really the best ways, if you want to know what's what and hours and so on, is to go to northwindart.org. And we've got virtual tours. You can just, from the safety and comfort of your own home, you can experience art. But our shows are really, really good. So right now we have three spaces: downtown Water Street, the Grover Gallery across from the Rose, and building 306 in the heart of Makers Square at Fort Worden.
Which is going to be extraordinary. We're going to be your neighbor over there.
I am so excited about that. I can hear the music pumping out of the basement now.
I know. And then the upstairs, the gallery part and the classroom part are extremely important. It gives the merger the opportunity to sort of expand in such a creative way. And it's such a wonderful place to do that. Like you say, I mean, there's this synergy among all of the creative arts that are surrounding that campus.
It really does give us another anchor to amplify who we are in such a beautiful way. I get chills every time I walk out there. I walk out there every day, and we have been, watching this whole thing unfold, and we've experienced the wake of the construction. We're literally like in the middle of the hurricane fencing. So watching it evolve has been glorious. And I've actually had the opportunity to tour the buildings that are almost finished and dreaming. I talk with Rob Berman from Centrum often, Heron Scott from the Woodworking School, Renee Klein from Madrona Mind Body, and other partners. We have been programming successfully for a long, long time. The potential of Maker Square and what's happening there it's endless. We also have some really great ideas. So I think there's a lot shaken loose right now, and I'm really excited about our potential expansion. We actually need to expand, and we will expand, and we want to be there.
Well, in your visionary's eyes, give us a description of what that's going to look like out there.
Well, I see it just really humming along. I see 305, 305 is a super cool building. We'd love to have a gallery in that space. And the two big ends that are opened up all the way to the rooftop, two levels. You can actually see out from the attic spaces down into those spaces. So I can see them just being programmed with, just cool art exhibits, but also hands-on learning and working. And that spilling out around our building 306, and woodwork can happen over here, and hot shop metalwork happening over here, and live raku firings, like all in the square, but then again rippling out all over the campus. It's like when you go to the fort, when Centrum is in action, well, from all over town you can hear the music. You will be able to come to Fort Worden and feel the Makers.
I hear the sounds of all of those sort of wafting into those beautiful timbers up there in the roof of Building 306. For our listeners that are not familiar with that building, it had many uses over the years. But one of the uses was the quartermaster's headquarters. And there is a freight elevator that remains because it's a historic item. We actually have this freight elevator sitting in the reception area of the studio. We're not using it. You know, we have another elevator that we're going to use, but that's where they stored everything up there in the attic. And there's so much room up there. But these timbers, these amazing timbers that hold that roof up are just incredibly beautiful in such a simple way. It's just going to be spectacular for someone walking into the gallery and looking up there to see that.
Do you all know when it might open? I know that's probably the question of the day, but any ideas about what we're looking at this point?
Well, I know that construction is coming to completion, and there's still a lot hanging in the balance. I think what needs to happen next, is there really needs to be some assignment around how the spaces are going to be used and who's going to use them. And there's going to be a selection process, which, you know, fair enough. But I also know that there are, again, some folks on that campus, i.e. Centrum and Woodworking School, Northwind Art and Madrona, so on, who have been doing programming for a long, long time. So all I can say is that there will be some great things in the works, some kinds of programming. And I think that will actually really influence when it's actually open to the public. I can't wait, actually. I mean, you know, let's say summer. I don't know. I think that's too soon, but it needs to be occupied. We've been working a long time on this space. Time to get it full of life.
The campus is going to be very receptive to people strolling around and listening to music or whatever, looking at art, participating in art, all of that. They're ripping out a lot of the asphalt over there between the buildings and putting in a grassy area. The loading dock is going to become a live stage. So
yeah, it looks like it's just, you know, intentional instant amphitheater. It's so cool. It's really beautiful. Signal Architecture and Clark Construction, just got to give them a shout out. The vision is beautiful and the end result is really something. And I really appreciate too, in the buildings, I was so worried that they were going to make it just too fancy, too flossy, you don't want to tread on it, but it's really ready to be used and created in.
I just really want to honor all of the partners that are out there at the fort, you know, you all, Centrum, Madrona, Marine Science Center, all of you. You know, it's been a challenging year to say the least out there at the fort, and you all have kept the heart of lifelong learning alive and really kept the vibrancy out there and just kept your eye on the prize. So thank you to all of you. I know that cannot have been easy.
Amazing people, amazing leaders, amazing supporters. Fort Worden is a thing. It's just beautiful, but it wouldn't be what it is at all without all those folks out there really dedicated to their missions. So, and you all dedicated to our missions.
It's very true. There's a lot of infrastructure out there. There's a lot of working parts, but excitement and creativity is contagious among the constructors and the observers and the participants. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. It already is, even in these planning phases. You know, it's a lot to plan and to get ready for. And then there's the implementation and the actual work to do it. But man, if we do it together and we're rowing all in the same direction, it is and can be really fun. And it'll be so worth it.
Those aspiring artists out there, Teresa, how do we sign up for classes?
Northwindart.org. Check it out. There's really good stuff, new inventory all the time. We're cautiously optimistic about this spring and summer and vaccinations and that light at the end of the tunnel that you mentioned opening up the program. We have some in-person classes. Safety is absolutely top of mind, but we're starting to open up. Online will always be available for you and anywhere in the world.
Teresa Perez, founding director of the Port Townsend School of the Arts, and talking about the merger with Northwind Arts and in that role that she joins us today. Thank you so much for joining us today, Teresa.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Siobhan.
It's been another edition of Community Tides, and it's coming to you during the noon hour on alternate Fridays with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation. From both of us, thanks for listening.